So we left off the previous year. We were discussing a major machlokes in Rishonim as to how to understand what Chazal mean when they say the Tainus Mezuyah doesn't really exist in the Torah. I bring a Shtayna base that the other guy starts screaming and yelling, no, no, it's a forgery, it's a fake. So in the Torah, we apply the rule of Nasech B'Shenech B'Yisrael raised in, and we basically ignore Tainus Mezuyah. So probably most of the Rishonim followed along the lines of Tosfos and the Sefer Ksubos, that the Gemara means that literally in all scenarios, Tainus Mezuyah just doesn't exist, it doesn't register. And even if the guy is literally standing in front of us and yelling Mezuyah, we're just going to ignore him. Then we saw a little bit of a watered down view in Rishonim. It was probably the Shittas of Rambam. It was definitely the Shittas of Rabbeinu Avigdor that was quoted in the Mordechai. These Rishonim said, no, it's not that the Tainus Mezuyah doesn't exist in the Torah. It's just that we're not going to advance it in the Torah. We're not going to suggest it in the Torah. We're not going to cause problems. We're not going to stir the pot that doesn't exist. If and when the Maldover is standing there and he is personally yelling Mezuyah, then we can't be doing that. Then we have to take that with the utmost seriousness, even in the Torah. And Rabbeinu Avigdor says explicitly, if and when that occurs, then Kiyum Shtaris will be required in the Torah. So the statement of the Gemara in many, many places, Kiyum Shtaris Derabbanan, Derabbanan, 20 times, Kiyum Shtaris Derabbanan, not always. If and when the other person is actually yelling Mezuyah, then Kiyum Shtaris becomes elevated to a status of Derabbanan. So we left off with a big problem is that Agamon Gittin doesn't bear this out. Agamon Gittin says that the whole ne'manus of the Shaliach is predicated on the assumption that we don't have a deraistic problem. As we said many, many times, deraistic problems require deraistic solutions. This is not a deraistic solution. A Shaliach saying, hocus pocus, before is not going to solve deraistic problems. Why isn't it a deraistic problem? Because Kim Shtar says there are one of them. Kimura says black and red, and they give him an olive. So wait a second, but according to Rabbeinu Avigdor, according to Rambam, the Baal's free. The Baal's, that's the most talking about. The Baal later on says that the Shvirich says before Nech Varechtam, then a week later the Baal starts screaming, it's Mezuyav, and Minatora, we ignore him. Minatora, we say, Kim Shtar is not a Midra Abon. Minatora, Tadis Mezuyav doesn't exist. But according to Rabbeinu Avigdor and Rambam, of course Tadis Mezuyav exists Minatora if the person advances it, which is exactly what's happening here. So the Nesivos, which is really pretty much what the Rabbeinu Avigdor himself said, suggests that there's a big difference between what Rabbeinu Avigdor and the Rambam was saying and what the Gemara was saying. Says the Nesivos that when do we say that Tainus Mezuyah exists in the Torah in the eyes of these Rishonim? That's Kodem, that's before the Shtar was accepted and stamped with approval by Beis Din. We're still in the deliberation stages. Do we have a shtar? Do we not have a shtar? So then all titles are open. Then you want a title Mezuyah, you have a right to do some of that Torah. The minute that Beis Din closes the case, the minute that Beis Din is makabel with the shtar, they read the shtar, they accept the shtar, they confirm the shtar, and they paskei Beis Din the shtar, then even Rabbeinu Avigdor and even the Rambam will concede that that's not really going to fly. That's not going to be a tiny that's accepted in the Torah. That's in the Sibus's freedom. So we thought that it's true to answer the question, but very arbitrarily, apparently. What's the difference? Either Tainus Mezuyah doesn't exist. It exists if and when we want it to exist. It means before the Shtar was read, after the Shtar was read, what kind of a feeling is that? What is that all based on? So we put the question back a little bit. We asked ourselves, why is Tainus Mezuyah not a valid title? What is this all about? We're throwing around this word very flippantly, their eyes. Right, so we state that anyway. Torah doesn't talk about any of these things. So what do we need to say that in the Torah, the Shtar is good, the Shtar is no good, the Torah is not good, where does the right, so where does that whole Torah law fit into this whole discussion? So we started the ball rolling. The day we ended this year on Wednesday with the Rashi in Masechta, getting in our sugya. The Rashi gives us an inkling as to why is it that in the Torah, we're not concerned with Mezuyah, whatever that means. We don't know exactly when that is or is not, but what is the basic structure of this halacha that we're not concerned with Mezuyah? Why not? So Rashi says, it's a tremendous chutzpah to do such a thing. To forge documents, the odds that a person forged a document are so unlikely, says Rashi, therefore the Torah doesn't reckon with that. If the Torah is not concerned with that. So what does that mean? Let's put that into a Torah category. So at the very end of the Shemun, we said, it sounds that the imagery that Rashi is invoking is a rope, that statistically, we did our studies, and we've said this many times, there are biological robes, there are physiological robes, there are natural robes, there are psychological robes. This is a psychological robe that we interviewed, not literally, but figuratively, 1,000 people, and we came to the realization that most people are too nervous, most people are too timid, so forging documents. Even people who are not exactly 100% honest, the forging document is already a whole other level of dishonesty. And that's enough for a robe. So let's stop Rashi for a moment.
Is a psychological robe the same as a Metzius robe? You know, we have fixed robe.
We're going to try to fine tune this robe for a minute. So we have a big problem with this robe. We have a big problem with this Rashi. Because we're going to use this Rashi to get the ball rolling in the studio. We have to stop Rashi literally in the tracks and say, wait a second. You're going to tell me that the following is happening. Reuven walks into Beis Din with a document that says, Shimon, you owe me $1,000. And Shimon's yelling, what's going to yell later, whatever the case would be. And now we have a concern, potentially, of Mezuyov. And we're going to machavek, we're going to just push it under the covers. That, don't bother me. Don't. I'm not interested with that concern of Mezuyov. You know why? Because the odds are it's not. What are we going to do with that odds? We're going to take those odds and dip into Shimon's pocket and take away $1,000 based on that odds. That's not what we just did. We don't really know with 100% certainty that the shtar is accepted. We don't know with 100% certainty that Shimon owes $1,000. We strongly suspect this to be the case. Our psychologist team have told us there's a 98.5% chance that this is true. But wait a second. It's still only a rove. And when it comes to rove, we are bound with the following limitation. A. Hochin b'mamon achar harov. And what tells that to us in the second Baba Kama, in the second Baba Basra, ein hochin b'mamon achar harov. When it comes to be motzi mamon, we have another rule that permeates the mamon. It's called hamotzi b'chaveiro alav haraya. You want to get money from somebody, you have to bring a proof. What is the proof? Hey, hayidia. Haraya means apishnai meni b'chum dover. You cannot bring other kinds of proofs. I'll bring you, it's a probably, it's a yes, it's a chazok, it's a robe, it's a him, it's a shemeshweitz, it's a shemeshweitz, it's a shemeshweitz, it's all irrelevant. Haraya, shnayim eidim yachum davar. You want to get money out of somebody's pocket, you have to prove it with two eidim. So what is Rashi talking about? How can Rashi tell us that the whole institution of kiyum shtaris being derabbanan is presupposing that min haTorah there's a robe? I'm not arguing the facts. Min haTorah, there is a role. I agree to the psychological study, but that study is irrelevant in order to be Metzi Mamon. So what is Pshat in this Rashi? So the Chari have to say that this Rashi is part of a theory that we've developed in the past, that there are different kinds of roles. Not all roles are created equal. So there is a Chai Adam, in the Sefer Chochzal, Chai Adam wrote, Chai Adam on Orachayim, there is notes in the back on the are the Nishmas Adam, then he wrote the Chochmas Adam and Yerodeya. There's notes in the back of the Venus Adam. You can't remember which Adam it is. It's all the same person. So the Chai Adam in Yerodeya develops the following episode, that there are robes and there are robes. Robes with a capital R. There are robes where we say, listen, there's a 92% chance that women give birth in the ninth month. Does it happen that they sometimes don't? Yes. There's a 96% chance that this animal doesn't have a hole in its heart. It's true. Those are robes. Is there a mute? Yes, there's a mute. Because the mute exists, the mute is commanding Isa to a certain extent. Therefore, there are certain areas of halacha that we can't budge. One of those areas of halacha we cannot budge is lahitzim mamon. That's the special chiddush Torah. Apishnai meni b'chum davar, motzach v'el v'raya. It's only a robe. As good as a robe is, it's only a robe. However, says the Chai Adam, sometimes you reach a point where it's not a rove. This is a statement of reality. This is a statement of truth about the nature of the world, or more importantly, in our case, about the nature of people. This is how people function. So says the Chayyad of Moshe Mada Bedoyim. There's a Gemara in Maseches Pesachim that says that when a person was a very, very firm, very religious farmer, We know that he always used to keep the mitzvahs properly, always to put children's and mitzvahs properly, and now he dies, and he finds up in his refrigerator. Do we suspect that maybe he didn't separate children's and mitzvahs? Can he ask the old MS? Can we assume with certainty it was mafish children's and mitzvahs? Gemara says, Chazoka al chover she'eri motzi, that is the other double she'eri misukah. There's a chazoka. The reality is that we know for a fact that this person, the chover, the firm farmer, must have separated from his mind. There's no way he would ever bring his stuff from the field, put it into his fridge, and leave it around in a state of tavu. These things just don't happen. Now, again, in the world of reality, could it happen? Is it possible that he forgot?
Yes.
Is it possible that he decided not to be so? Yes. There's always, I mean, it's nothing that's 100 million, million percent certain, but we reached a point of psychological truth. We reach a point of comfort level where we could say that this is not just merely a rogue. This is certainty. This is just the weight of the world. This is just the phenomena. This is psychological truth. This is the religious truth. And therefore, we can say this with certainty. Says the Chayyadam, we can say it with such certainty, even in the areas of halacha that don't lend themselves to rov. Says the Chayyadam, I'll give you another example. We spoke a lot about last year. A person, Ruben comes to Shimon and he says, you owe me $1,000. Whatever. And Shimon responds, I paid you back already. So normally when Shimon says I paid you back, there's no shtar. Normally Shimon says he paid you back, it's believed. Problem is that the due date hasn't come yet. So what are the odds that Shimon has actually paid back the debt before it was due? Gemara says, Chazoka ein adam pareya terchismano. People don't pay back debts before the due date. Gemara says, Halavai sheyifra adam bismano. And halavai people should pay their bills on time. Nobody pays their bills before they get the invoice. It's just not the way of the world. Could it happen? Is it possible? Yes, you can't say it's impossible, literally impossible. But that's just not the way the world works. And therefore, says the Chayyadam, we're going to be mighty mammon based on that. But Gevalt, this is not a robe. This is better than a robe. This is a reality of the world.
It's like the weather. Yeah, like one of these like crazy storms, but so once in a million years.
That's right. You reach a point where everything in the world is ultimately a state of odds. You reach a point where you say that the odds are so great. This is just the Dr. Shalom and things that deviate. We just view them as just the item in a cloud. It's not even a mere versus the row. So the Chora, that's what Rashi is driving at here as well. That's what many Achorim say. That's the Kabbalah of Rashi. That yes, is it possible that somebody forged a shtar in the history of the world? That somebody forged a document? Yes, but that's not the Dr. Shalom. That's just not the way people function. And therefore, when you see a document in front of you, so you can assume that it's true. B'toras vaday, not merely b'toras rov. And therefore, even if somebody's screaming mizuyav, you can ignore that tiny in a Torah and actually be motzi mamon. That's sufficient to be motzi mamon. It's not merely a rov. That's the simple shot in Rashi. But could one suggest a different bira though? Could one suggest a totally different approach as to why Tanis Mezuyev is ignored on the level of Deraisa? So the Rav suggested, and this is part of an entire theory about shtaros, we'll talk a little bit more as we go on. The Rav suggested that a shtar is a very, very powerful vehicle, very, very powerful mechanism in halacha. And we had a lot of trouble in the previous sugyas. How do we get to being a shtar? Isn't a shtar a violation of the P.M.V.O.P. Ksavim? So we had an array of answers in the Rishonim what the solution to that problem is. But Acharei Nichlos HaKol, everybody agrees there is a Torah institution called shtaros. The Torah speaks about it in three places explicitly and in one place in the V.M. The Torah speaks about it again. The Torah speaks about a shtar kedushin. The Torah speaks about a shtar shech Rabbi Kenani. The Pesukim in Navi Yirmiyahu speak about a shtar mechiras karka. So there's no question that the Torah recognizes the concept of a shtar. Whether you accept all shtaros bin Torah, certain shtaros bin Torah, Rambam, Adu Mishagrim, Tam, Rashi, there's a lot of terrors about that. That was those previous years. But everybody agrees that sometimes we reach a point where we can label this as a shtar. The Rav suggested that a shtar has an unbelievable koach to us. Not only does a shtar tell us the story as to what's written on the piece of paper, the shtar actually speaks about its very self. The shtar is made on itself, licked in the sugiv shtaros, within the bash of shtaros, is that assumption that the shtar is being made al atzmo al kashrus, that the shtar tells us, I am a kosher shtar. So Ishtar does multiple things, says the Rav. Ishtar tells us the details, the facts, what are recorded in the history of Ishtar. And Ishtar also is made on itself, that it itself is a Dovra Kosha, it itself is an Eishera. That is part and parcel of the Parsha Shnos. Says the Rav, that is the essence of Eidim HaChasum HaShtar, Nasta Kamisha Nechrei Dusim HaVeizdim Dami. Not like Rashi says, we did a study, we interviewed 900 people, and we realized that 899 people don't forge documents, and the Chayyadim told us it's a Rav, but it's better than a Rav. You might say, none of that, says the Rav. This is not even in the Sugya of Rav's. This is Eidus Gemura. There's an Eidus in front of us. I mean, it's the phenomenon that the Shtar is kosher. Who's the Eidus? The Eidim HaChasum HaMashtar. That is the Eidus. That's lit in the Parsha of Shtaros. That is part of the Chesh HaTarev Shtaros. Now, we have two very, very different approaches as to what exactly is the source for this halacha that Mezuyah doesn't really exist. But now we have to go back. We don't have that. We don't have 100%, but that's not, there's no Eidim over there. This is two Eidim saying that this is a kosher star. The Eidim assigned to the star are the Eidim that the star is kosher. And I have a Baldovo screaming and yelling. That's tantamount to saying I have two Eidim who say Reuben broke Shimon's window, and the Baldovo Reuben says I didn't break the window. That's not Eidim. Eidim means he's got to bring two other Eidim in a chutz to say Manu Ma'isim. It's going to be pretty difficult on a star. It may not even exist on a star. But you don't need Rishon Lefiri. That was part of a previous sugya. That Eibach is Nasik Mishtech with some base. So Shtar is, once you become a Shtar, it's not so easy to get there. But once you reach the stage of a Shtar, the game is over. That's the Rav's breakthrough in Shtar.
According to the Rav, the Rambam doesn't fit in. And the
Hold on. So now let's go back to the drawing board. We had a very strange Shita, so to speak, that the Nesivus is claiming with Asnis Rishonim that Bamed Bamamurim, the Titus Bazuyev doesn't exist. That's after the Shtar was processed. But before the Shtar was processed, that's okay. So does that chiluk make any sense according to the two Biurim that we have as to what makes a Shtar tick? So according to Rashi, it is impossible to have such a distinction. According to Rashi, the kashrus of a Shtar or the lack of validity of a response of Bazuyev is predicated on a psychological study. The 99.9% chance that Chayodom gave us the check and said, that's not a rove anymore, that's a chazoka. You might see Mama based on that. That notion of Rashi, does that make the slightest bit of difference whether the Shtar was processed by Beis Din or not? That whenever we're looking at a Shtar, it doesn't matter whether we looked at it, are going to look at it, never going to look at it. The psychological study says the same thing, that people don't forge Shtaros. So if you accept the psychological study as being truth, and you're willing to go down the route of it's a vadai, and you might see mammon, so what kind of arbitrary chiluk is it? No, it only becomes a psychological truth after the Beis Din studies the Shtar. What do those words mean? Of course it's psychological truth. But according to the Rav, we took this out of the realm of psychology. According to the Rav, in the world of halacha, we tell the Bacham and Shiva, is this a pre-3 o'clock question or a post-3 o'clock question? 3 o'clock being the cutoff point in Shiva when the college classes start. So according to the first beer in Rashi, because the beer Rashi, it's almost like a post-trade law. It's a psychological study. It's not rooted in the absolute world of halacha. It's simply a psychological statement that people don't forge documents. But according to the Rav, it's much more profound than that, much deeper than that. According to the Rav's beer, it's a halachic reality, quote, Hilchus Shtaros. It's Hilchus, the Chiddush HaTorah Shtaros, that ultimately convinces us that to ignore Titus Bazuyev. What you could argue as follows. Once you put it into halachic reality, you can ask yourself the following question. At what point does it become a halachic shtar? When do we say that the shtar is chal? So it could be that the shtar is only chal legamre once it's processed by Beis Din. When Beis Din, it appears in Beis Din, so now we say, oh good, the Eidus is there, it's Chasum Rav Ashtar, Beis Din has read it, Beis Din accepted it. When Beis Din accepts that Eidus, then it becomes Taifis on the Shem Shtar, and at that point, it's made Al Atzmo, and once it's made Al Atzmo, all Tanis Mezuyof's, the bets are all off. The Kozman, that Shtar wasn't yet processed in Beis Din, we haven't yet called it a Shtar. Right now, it's a piece of paper to be determined whether it's a shtar. We don't need key or minat Torah to make it a shtar, but you need to come over. You need basically to read it. You need basically to process. You need to accept. So once basically accepts it, puts the plumber on it, then the din of shtaros kicks in. And once the din of shtaros kicks in, the Titus Bazuf becomes meaningless. But Kolzman, that hasn't happened yet. So that's what Rabbi Ravinger says. If it hasn't happened yet, then we're still open for grabs, we're open for discussion. And when the person claims Bazuyov, we have to take that title with the utmost seriousness. So Rabbi Ravinger does not accept this robe, Chazok alo chotz finish of Rashi. That's not true. That's not necessarily the case. It's not a Mitzias question that disqualifying Titus Bazuyov. It's a halachic concern. A halachic concern only kicks in at the time that it becomes a halachic shtar.
Minat Torah, somebody gives a husband gives his wife a get, and it's two edim, and it's they have to go to get Beis Din to establish that as a shtar.
Well,
if that's just more, if she wants to get married, it's a smart thing to do, but it has a change.
100%. It has the shame of a shtar kinyan. It is a shtar kinyan, means it affects the chalos, but can we say that it takes on the status of a shtar raya? That at this point it's considered to be a Eidos? No, you don't need it to be a shtar raya until you have somebody to be mufakfik on.
Yeah, she doesn't want to.
Right, shtar kinyan becomes a shtar raya. Right. According to this view from the Rav, that there's almost like a delay mechanism between when it becomes a shtar kinyan, shtar raya may not fit 100% into that plan. Right. I don't know whether the Rav himself went this extra mile on this Shabbat or we're building off of the Rav. I don't want to put it on the Rav. The Rav himself didn't say it. But we're taking the Rav, we're extracting the Rav's word and trying to make some sense out of this chiluk of business. So this idea that we're saying now that shtaros say a lot of things according to the world of Brisk. So shtaros walk, they talk, they tell us all kinds of stories. They tell us about what it says on a piece of paper. They tell us about their own truth. Shtar may do something else as well, and that's as follows. This is also a throwback to something we spoke about many times last year, this year as well. I come to you with a shtar that says you borrowed $1,000 from me, and I claim you have not yet paid back. And you say, well, I haven't paid back. Of course I paid you back. The due date was long gone. I paid you back this week. What do you mean? Of course I paid you back. But you don't have any aid in their effects. Who wins the din Torah? So the Gemara says four words. Shtar chabiyadi, my boy. Versus come. The Malva wins the din Torah because the Malva turns around to Lord and says, why do I still have a piece of paper? If you really paid back, you should have ripped up the shtar, at least asked for a receipt. You should have aided them to testify you paid back. Shtar should be out of my body. The existence of the shtar in my hand is going to be the proof positive that you didn't pay back yet. So comes Rabbi Kivega and says, wait, I don't understand. Shtar chabiyadi, my boy, in the end of the day, is a rove. Bring the psychologist back. Most people don't give back shtaras. They say, don't pay back loans unless they ask for a receipt, unless they ask for the document back. So the odds are that he hasn't paid back the loans. We're back to square one. If shtar chabiyadi ben boy is only a rove, how can Beis Din use that loyalty mammon? We have a din ta'ur between Reuben and Shimon. Reuben's claiming that you owe me the money. Shimon says, I don't owe the money. What's that proof that Shimon owes the money? Shtar chabiyadi ben boy. If shtar chabiyadi ben boy is just simply a rove, how is that going to work, loyalty mammon? Oh, so go back to square one. So back to the world of super duper roves, back to the world of chazokas, back to the world of this is not a rove. This is the way of the world. What meshugnish of shugoyim is gonna pay back? Imagine you owe a guy $1 million and you're not gonna ask for any receipt, nothing. No, just let him hold on to the ones, let him hold on to the dock. Crazy. So it's reached the point of the what we call in our shiva, we call it the chai of the rose. Means it's a rove. That's not a rove. It's a chazoka. It's a reality. It's a certain degree of certainty in this world. That's the acharonim's pshat. The early acharonim's pshat. And what struck me out of my boys all down. So the rove said, no. The rove said that maybe we give a little bit of a different twist. A shtarcha biyadi, my boy. And shtarcha biyadi, my boy, they have its roots in Reb Chaim. Also, it's a similar kind of an idea. Shtarcha biyadi, my boy, means as follows: a shtar says a lot of things. It's the walking, talking document. A shtar testifies about what it says on the piece of paper. A shtar testifies about its own kashrus, as we said just a few minutes ago. And a shtar testifies about all future events that are the natural outgrowth of what it says in the shtar. Ain't this about things that haven't happened yet? Yep, that's what a shtar is. Moshe about the Bedomer. So the Rav said as follows, that Tosfos, we'll talk about this Tosfos a little bit later on. Tosfos on the Balad says Gittin claims that when you have a get, even if you have witnesses signed on the get, you still need Eidei Mesira. You still have to have Eidim who saw the get actually being given. A woman walks to the Beis Din with a piece of paper that has witnesses signed on the bottom, says that she's divorced. So the Mishnah says, we'll accept the Eidim, we'll let her remarry. So he tells us, what do you mean? How do we know there were witnesses present at the time of the Mesira? Who told us that there were Eidei Mesira there? If they weren't Eidei Mesira there, the get is no good. Who told us that there were Eidei Mesira there? So the answer is, it must be the Eidei Chasima who told us that. But the Eidei Chasima weren't even there at the time of the Mesira. The Eidei Chasima signed the get and left. Eidei Chasima just signed. All they signed was is that Reuven wants to divorce Rachel. They're not signing that Reuven actually did divorce Rachel. They don't even have a clue whether Reuven. They may have died before Reuven divorced Rachel. So how do you know that there are Eidei Mesira there? So Tosfos has a very, very cryptic statement. Tosfos says, Mestama Kobin Heshen Aser. Mestama was all okay. Mestama there were Eidei Mesira. Mestama there, what does that mean? So the Rav explained that the mechanism is as follows. That the Eidei Chasima are testifying that all the natural occurrences that happen after we get the sign have occurred, even though between you and me, they weren't there. They didn't see the Mesira. With their eyes, they didn't see the Mesira. The Shtar can testify even about things that haven't occurred yet, because the natural order of things is that after the Chasima comes the Mesira, and that's Nichol in the Chiddush Mishtar. I would never say that about an Eidus Malchut. To Eidim testify, we don't put words into their mouth that they didn't yet see, but the Shtar does above and beyond what Eidus Malchut does. Rav explained, I lend you $1,000. Have I paid back the $1,000 or not? The Shtar being in the hands of the Malva is saying to us that I have not yet been paid back, even though the Eidim didn't sign on that. The Eidim didn't sign that there was or was not a payment. The Eidim signed on the original loan. But lichten the original Eidus on the loan is that it's understood that Kol Zman the Shtar is still in the hands of the Malva. This document has not yet been repaid. And who's made to that? The Shtar. A shtar is made al shema osid as well. That's like brisk shema brisk. A shtar, it's three dinim, three alochs of the shtars. A shtar is made on what it actually says in the paper. A shtar is made on its own kashrus, and a shtar is made on future events that are natural outcomes of what it says in the shtar.
The future is very different.
It's the future of not paying alone.
Not paying.
Right, that's right. It's okay, right. It's a natural outgrowth of the shtar. That if the star is sitting in the woman's hands, it means she got the star. If the star is still sitting in the malva's hands, it means the malva's not yet gotten his payment. Those are all nichol on the edges of the star. Right, so that's also nichol. That's assuming that she got it behesh. Again, this is. Quite a chiddush in Kishtaros, but this theme that's permeating our sugya through the Mezuyof may be part of that same story in terms of Shtar of the other boy. So it's interesting that the two tainas that just don't work against the Shtar, Mezuyof and Perua, the two things that really Mikvadin don't address the Shtar, according to the Shtar of the Rav, they're really rooted in the same thing. They're rooted in this unique status of Shtaros. The Shtaros say much, much more than meets the eye. So I'll call upon them back to our original sugya. Does Tainus Mezuyof exist? That was our question. Does Tainus Mezuyof? Is Tainus Mezuyof the Tainim in a Torah now? So the simple reading of the Gemara is that it's not at all. The Victor of the Ram says sometimes yes, sometimes no. What ultimately is it that prevents Tainus Mezuyof? We go down the route of Rashi with the earlier Achronim about some kind of a super duper robe, chayodim, the proportions and dimensions. Or do I go down the world of Brisk? That what prevents Tainus Mezuyof is the very essence of the Eidus of the Shtar proper. So, Habaycha Yivchar, which direction do you want to go? What you think about Tainus Mezuyof? At the end of the day, at least sometimes Tainus Mezuyof doesn't work with Torah. But all the time, only sometimes we don't know. But sometimes it doesn't really work with Torah. And it's that inability to Tainus Mezuyof to work with Torah that sets the groundwork for the Fanech. I can't say, we're not making a scene by any stretch of imagination on the Gimel Masechet Gittin. But at least we have a little bit of clarity as to what says the Mishnah. So we've been almost learning for 4 months already. We have one simpleton in the Mishnah, And Erecha is believed to say before Erecha, before Erecha. How did that work? Rab had his approach. Rab had to deal with Erecha and Bisuin issues. Rab had to deal with Kiyum Shtaros issues. Everybody came to the same conclusion that Minat Torah, we solved the problem. Once Minat Torah, we solved the problem, whatever shape or form or mechanism, it took us 4 months to solve the problem in Minat Torah. The new problem with the Rabbanan, hey, we have an issue of either Lashma or Kiyum Shtaros. That problem, the Rabbanan, can easily be solved in the solution of the Rabbanan of Ben Erecha. So both Rab and Rava end up in the same exact structure of the Sugya, albeit they had different issues, different solutions, different issues, but they ended up at the same point. So there's ways to get into the bridge in multiple ways. There's a lot of traffic in all ways, a lot of things we picked up along the way, but at least we ended up at the bridge. Let's see the next one. We'll try to move on to the next thing. Rob's giving you a different view of the top world. What? If we have been here.